Hello again. Welcome to the Bernie Miklas Show here on YouTube. Thank you very much, as always, for your support. And we'll continue to crank these out for you. Hopefully, I'll be doing more of them as I go along. Just got spanked hard yesterday at Milwaukee. You don't need many details, except I want to zero in on a couple of things. Why are the Brewers better? You know, the Cardinals, if you talk about comparing them to Milwaukee, the Cardinals, in terms of spending just for this year, on the 26-man payroll, the Cardinals have outspent the Brewers by $61 million. On the 40-man payroll, they've outspent the Brewers by $59 million. So why is one team struggling to, you know, have a 500 season? And why is the other one just running away with the NL Central? And I looked yesterday. I don't think anything has changed. The Brewers have like the third best winning percentage in the majors. How could that be? And we've gone all through this before. I did a video on it. Listen, obviously, Milwaukee's got a much better, far superior baseball operation, and it's been that way for a long time. They know how to draft, develop, scout. They tap into the international market in a way that pays off, like with this phenom, Jackson Chirio, 20 years old, unbelievable. An organization like the Cardinals should never get beat to a guy like that, but it happens all the time. And again, I don't want to be redundant. We know that the Brewers do a lot more with less money because they're smarter, they're more resourceful, and they understand value for the dollar. But let's zero in on some specifics. The Brewers are also well-coached, well-managed, all that. And I want to talk about something that I'm going to jump off on. It's something Derek Gould, my good friend and the great baseball writer at the Post-Dispatch, wrote about Andre Pallante, who had a bad start. Listen, it's going to happen. It's not like I'm down on him. And even the Cardinals make it seem like they're going to be keeping him in the rotation, as they should. But there was a sequence, and I appreciate that Derek wrote about this. There was a sequence in the game where, you know, it ended with a three-run homer by Willie Adames. And he threw eight pitches in the at-bat, and seven were four-seam fastballs. Now, the way Pallante described it after the game, his four-seam fastball wasn't very good, and he threw too many of them, and he got carried away during that particular at-bat, throwing too many four-seam fastballs. Now, pardon the inside baseball stuff, but I have to put that out there to set up what I'm about to say. So if you have a pitcher who has improved largely because he's made better use of his sinker, right, which has gotten him a lot of ground balls and it's kind of neutralized hitters from both sides of the plate, why was he throwing 51 four-seam fastballs yesterday out of his 100 pitches and he only threw 18 sinkers? So, in other words, the thing that has made him so successful as a starter since going in the rotation on May the 29th is because he's developed a formula where he's not going to lean on the four-seam fastball as much. He's not going to throw it in obvious counts, and he'll fall back on the sinker when he needs to get a ground ball or just to diversify a little bit. But yesterday, it was all out of whack. I mean, 51 four-seam fastballs, 18 sinkers. Where was the dugout on this? Where was the dugout on this? You have a pitcher that admitted, I appreciate Pallante's candor. I appreciate his candor, where he basically just said, you know, I was too in love with that pitch and I threw it too much. And I learned, he said, I'll learn from it. Okay, fine. But where was the dugout? Where was the pitching coach? And there's people where it's fashionable to condemn Wilson Contreras, because it's funny how when he leaves the lineup with an injury, some people want to make it out to be like, well, you know, they're winning without him, you know, because he doesn't know how to call a game and he can't do this and he can't do that. No, I'm not going to go through the numbers, but the first time he was out, they had like 6-7 guys in their lineup going nuts. I mean, performing way above average for the first time that's this season. And then even during this stretch where he's been out with the second injury, the broken finger, the numbers that about six or seven players have put up when they were winning 8 out of 12 games before yesterday have been, the numbers were phenomenal. So this has nothing to do with his catching, okay? It has to do with the fact for it's just a coincidence when he's out of the lineup with an injury, other guys have stepped up. I don't know why they don't step up when he's in the lineup because he's one of their better hitters. So it's just the Cardinals are a riddle, man. It just gives you a headache to just try to figure any of this stuff out. But let's not get into the stupid thing. Well, see, they got a winning record when he's not playing. Please, okay? Where was Páez yesterday, the rookie catcher, man? I don't want to dog on him. First of all, he hit two solo home runs. More on that in a minute. But where was the catcher? You know, I think Páez really, really, really smart. And the pitchers obviously like to throw to him, and he does a good job behind there. I mean, much admiration for the young rookie. However, a catcher's got to take charge. And if the four-seam fastball isn't working, what in the heck is Pallante doing throwing seven of them in eight pitches to a dangerous hitter like Willy Adames? And how could you finish that at bat throwing five in a row? I mean, you're all but putting it on a damn tee for him, right? So where was the pitching coach? Where was the manager? Where was just somebody, hey, whoa, time out. Let's rethink this here. Where was the catcher? You go out to the mound, and I don't know if he did or not. So I'm being honest about that. I don't know if he did or not, but it doesn't change my overall point. You know, you're watching a disaster in slow motion, and everyone's sitting there watching it. And Pallante, after the game, again, at least had the cojones to admit that he screwed up. And if he had to do it all over again, he realizes he had to diversify his pitches. Where is the coaching? Seriously, where is it? And Dusty Blake, I will say this, and I'm not trying to have it both ways here. I do know that there are some disadvantages. I've talked about this in another video. The Cardinals do not invest in infrastructure enough at the major league level and the minor league level. Dusty Blake, compared to most teams out there, especially the good ones, he has got far fewer resources to work with in this search for a competitive edge, okay? So the operation in the dugout is at a disadvantage because of the lack of infrastructure and the fact that the front office and ownership just sort of let that area slide. The Cardinals haven't kept up, and I've talked about that a lot. But that doesn't have anything to do with like real game action in real time, right? It just doesn't have anything to do with that. When you're watching a young pitcher, and he's still a young starter, it's not like he's been, you know, been doing this for 3 years as a starting pitcher. You know, he's kind of flustered and he's not really thinking right, and he's overthrowing one pitch, and boom, 3-run homer, 3-0 lead, and the route was on. Again, I used to say this on my radio show a lot, and those of you who listen to it, thank you very much for that. And I'm going to repeat a phrase that I used a lot on that radio show when I was talking about the Cardinals and all the ways that they're kind of deficient, where it just doesn't make sense. And the expression is, I'll say it, here we go, big drum roll, right? Yeah. Where did all the smart people go? Seriously, where did all the smart people go in the Cardinals organization? And I think we saw a microcosm of that yesterday. You got a young guy out there pumping four-seam fastballs, and it's not his strength. And the reason he's been successful is he's gotten away from overthrowing that. And here we go again. No one intervenes. And I know I'm being redundant, so let me move on. The other thing I want to talk about, and I do think this has something to do with coaching, and I do think, I don't know what's going to happen at the end of the year. I assume there's going to be a shakeup. It depends whether it's going to be an earthquake shakeup where you clean everybody out, or it's going to be a moderate shakeup where you throw a couple coaches over the side, maybe the manager over the side, because you think, oh, the fans will like that. Well, I don't know about that. Not if the same operation is in place. Yeah, the fans will like it because they don't like the manager or the coaches. Look, we all know that when things are bad or things are mediocre, people want to, you know, they're going to say naturally a lot of the heat's going to go to the manager and the coaches. And I've always resisted this idea of blaming the hitting coach all the time. But in this case, man, it is different. It is just different. They brought him in. because Paul Goldschmidt liked him. They worked together when Goldie was coming up through the minors and all that. Nolan Arenado signed off on it. And that's your first mistake. You can't hire a coach based on, you know, one or two players, you know, highly recommend them. The other thing is, you know, where is the show me the proof that Turner wore the hitting coach, fine man and all that. It's nothing personal, but give me the proof that he knows what he's doing with young hitters once they hit the wall and they get into a really bad way. We've talked about this ad nauseum over and over and over again. We see young hitters just kind of lose it and never, ever regain that traction because there's no one there in that operation that knows how to fix them at the major league level. I mean, it's absolutely pathetic. And yet they continue to go on and on and on with this. When you have a deep-rooted trend like that, then the hitting coach becomes relevant because what are they doing to make it better with the talent that they have? They should be a better offense, and they're not. Why do so many players, young hitters, why do so many of them go over the cliff? And then when they end up somewhere else, they're much better. Although I might say Dylan Carlson is really cooled down in Tampa Bay, so we might want to back off on that one. But I'm getting away from the point. You get my point. There's a pattern here. There's deep-rooted problems here. There's a trend here, and it goes on and on and on and on. And at that point, you say, well, wait a minute. There's something broken here. There's something you've got to be able to do better to get these guys to take better at-bats and have a better approach and better pitch recognition and all this stuff. I had a stat on the writing side. And again, you can go to scoopsnetwork.com. I had a stat last week about how the Cardinals with runners in scoring position, they're third or fourth highest number of called strikes. And then the other thing with runners in scoring position, they swing at too many pitches out of the strike zone. So once again, yeah, the hitter has the ultimate responsibility. I get it, right? But if a schlub like me can look this stuff up in 1 minute, that, wait a minute, you all, one of the problems you have with runners in scoring position, you watch too many pitches go right down Broadway. You keep the bat on your shoulder. You don't swing at pitches right down the middle. And then you're chasing stuff out of the strike zone. You got this thing backwards, my friends. But no, it goes on and on and on and on. The other thing about the Brewers, and including to have a much smarter coaching staff and all that, and getting more for their money and being extremely resourceful, value for the dollar, they know the importance of walks. The Brewers have the highest walk rate in the National League, second overall. The Cardinals are way down there, I think 12th in the National League. So the Brewers keep the pressure on pitchers, like Pallante, who walked 5 yesterday. They put the pressure on the pitchers because they're not going to chase and make it easy for them. They're just going to grind away. Say, hey, man, no. We're not chasing that junk. And that's why the Brewers draw so many walks. And the other thing they do is when they draw walks and they wear the pitchers down, and doesn't that make sense? You know, you wear a guy down, you take more and more pitches, and then he makes a mistake. Boom. The Brewers this year, they have 23 three-run homers. You know how many the Cardinals have? 9. I mean, my goodness. The Cardinals have 9 three-run homers because they don't get enough people on base. And when they do, they don't hit the big home runs, right? The big, massive three-run homers. My guy, Earl Weaver, who I learned a lot just watching those Orioles teams growing up, he just said, you know, give me walks, high on-base percentage, and three-run homers. Cardinals don't do that, right? And this is something a guy was preaching in, the late 60s, early 70s. And these people still haven't figured that out, right? So when the Brewers put pressure on the pitcher, they get a lot of walks, the heat's on, pitchers make mistakes, they're worn down, whatever. And they're also well-scouted. The Brewers know exactly what to expect from pitchers. So the Cardinals this year have the fewest three-run homers in the National League, 9. I mean, it's just sad. And then the other thing that jumps out, the Milwaukee Brewers this year, this is an incredible stat. They have 58 home runs with runners in scoring position. You know how many the Cardinals have with runners in scoring position? 25. So if we could go right on down the line, you know, when the Cardinals hit home runs, yeah, they get their share of two-run homers. They hit a lot of solo home runs, and they don't hit these big boys, these bad boys, when they have runners in scoring position. You know why? Again, cause and effect. Brewers draw a lot of walks, you know, get the pitcher anxious, get them tired out, and then they jump them, right? That happens a lot with the Milwaukee Brewers. The Cardinals take lousy at-bats. Their plate approach stinks, and not only do they fail to get enough walks of people on base when they get them on there, they have really bad habits at the plate as a team. Really, really bad habits, which I've specified too. So it just bothers me that a team that, you know, once had legends coaching in minor leagues, and like George Kissel and Dave Ricketts and some others, Mark DeJean's another one. It's just sad to me. It really is, that what used to be an incredibly smart organization from top to bottom, majors all the way down to the lowest level of the minors, is not very smart anymore. And I'm being polite. I don't want to say the word dumb. They're not smart, okay? And you see a team like the Brewers outmaneuver them because they are just so much smarter. Coaching, even the way the hitters understand, this is how we have to do this. This is our best approach. Let's get it done. Very disciplined, very smart. And that's how a team that is spending $60 million less than the Cardinals on talent this year, that's how they're running away with the NL Central. And the Cardinals are still sitting there watching Andre Pallante self-destruct and no one intervenes, or why they take such horrible at-bats with runners in scoring position. Coaching does matter, okay? It does matter. We tend to exaggerate it, but it absolutely does matter. Well, that'll do it today. Who knows? I might pop in back later. Please subscribe, tell your friends about it, hit the like button, all that good stuff. We love your comments. Thank you very much. Have a good day.